Friday and why it is incredibly good. Here's a quote that caught my Google eye in preparation for this week. It's up on the screen. The cult of self dominates our cultural landscape. This cult has within it the classic traits of superficial charm, grandiosity, self-importance, a need for constant stimulation, a penchant for lying, deception, manipulation. The author goes on to say, we have a right in the cult of self to get whatever we desire. We can do anything, even belittle and destroy those around us, including our friends, to make money, to be happy, to become famous. What do you think? Does that ring true of the world around you? The cult of self. Do we have the tendency to be self-centered? Do we tend to live out of self-serving self-interest? And is that a bad thing? And if so, what can be done about it? Well, today, as we get to the climax of Mark's biography of Jesus, we'll see the selfish and the selfless in stark contrast. And we'll try to think truthfully about which we tend to be and which we want to be. So come with me as we look at the very first Good Friday. And first we see people acting out of self-interest. Here's how that day starts. Mark records that very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin made their plans. So they bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Now, it would be good for you to take time to read in full Mark's biography of the life of Jesus. Today, we're jumping in nearly at the end of it, as things are reaching a climax. Right throughout the biography, we've been introduced to these Jewish rulers who oppose Jesus. Jesus has been very popular, and these Jewish leaders are jealous. From the beginning, Mark tells us these Jewish rulers plot to kill Jesus. And now as we get to the end, they all gang up on Jesus, and they put their plan into place to kill him. And here's why. As they present Jesus to the Roman ruler Pilate, he knows they've trumped up charges out of self-interest. Pilate says to them, do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? Knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. The Jewish rulers abuse their positions and power out of self-serving self-interest. And the Roman ruler Pilate is no better. He knows that Jesus is innocent and a victim of people abusing their power, but he caves in out of self-serving self-interest as well. And Pilate goes along with the injustice simply to satisfy the crowd. Mark writes this. Pilate says, "What shall I do then with the one you call King of the Jews? Crucify him," they shouted. "Why? What crime has he committed?" But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The Jewish rulers, they want to kill Jesus to keep their own power and prestige. And Pilate says yes, to keep his own popularity. These are the worst kind of rulers, aren't they? They abuse their positions and power for their own purposes. We hate that, don't we? We hate it when people corrupt their positional power and use it for their own self-serving self-interest. It shows us that the cult of self is bad. They destroy an innocent man to get what they want. People do bad things out of self-interest. Kids, if you're listening, that's our first star point. People do bad things out of self-interest. And let's not be too quick to point the finger. We do or say things out of self-serving self-interest too, don't we? We might do anything, even belittle, destroy others to make money, to be happy, to be popular. We could silently condone, wash our hands of injustices to stay popular. We like to point the finger when we see the self-serving self-interest of people in power. But I wonder if given the chance, if we'd be any different, really. And the cult of self, it's not just out there. It's in here, isn't it? It's our instinct. And it seems to be the way the world works, doesn't it? Even on that first Good Friday, it seems the self-interested, they're the ones who win. Pilate will remain popular, and the Jewish leaders get their man. On the surface, that Good Friday is a good day for bad people. And there's another character in the story that makes this point. His name is Barabbas. He's plainly a bad guy. He's guilty of being part of a murderous uprising. Mark records this for us. Now, it's a custom at the festival to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. On the surface, the events of this first Good Friday, there's really nothing good about it, is there? It's a terrible day of injustice. Rulers abusing their power and positions out of self-serving self-interest. And a guilty man just walks free. And even worse, the punishment of the guilty is dished out on an innocent man instead. This is an evil day, friends. Wickedness and injustice seem to win. Today, when Jesus is treated appallingly. Here's what Mark records for us. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again, they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on them. Then they led him out to crucify him. Now, Mark says, as Jesus hangs on the cross, those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." And even those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. It's appalling, isn't it? The cruelest form of execution is matched blow for blow with spontaneous, vindictive spite. And though it's almost inconceivable someone could suffer more, it gets worse for Jesus. Mark says, at noon, darkness came over the whole land till 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus is completely forsaken. The nations, Israel and Rome, they've forsaken him. His family and his friends, they've forsaken him. And then, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Now, Jesus here takes on the words of Israel's great king, King David. Now, Jesus quotes Psalm 22, which is a prayer for God to save his king from death as people surround him, scoffing and mocking. And Jesus dies as God's King, the King of the Jews, declaring his trust in God to save him. And of course, come Easter Sunday, we know that that trust is well placed. God indeed raises Jesus back to life, to live forever. God saves his King. But that's for Easter Sunday, so come back, won't you? But for today, we need to sit a little longer with the details of that first Good Friday. Because while the events of the first Good Friday are bad, the effects are incredibly good. It is Good Friday because though the events are bad, the effects are good. And Mark signals this for us as Jesus dies. Mark records, with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. As Jesus dies, something incredible, world-changing, happens. The curtain in the temple represents the sin barrier between God and people. God lives on one side of the curtain, and people live on the other because sinful people cannot enter the presence of God and live. Now, with the death of Jesus, everything changes. That sin barrier has been dealt with and destroyed, and people have access to God through Jesus. If we had time to read all of Mark's biography of Jesus, he's been preparing us for this. Jesus tells his disciples three times that he'll be delivered over to the Jewish rulers and condemned to death by the Romans. He says he'll be mocked, spat on, flogged and killed, but after 3 days rise again. But in response to that, the disciples show they're still bound up in self-serving self-interest. They ask Jesus to give them positions of power and prestige. But Jesus says greatness is not for self-serving self-interest. To be great, it's not to be served, but to serve. And then he says this about himself. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And kids, that's our second star point today. Write it down. King Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Friends, that's the great contrast of the very first Good Friday. Everyone else lives in self-serving self-interest. And Jesus never did anything out of self-serving self-interest. He always serves God his Father and serves others, even to the point of dying on a Roman cross to pay for the sins of others. Incredible. That's how Jesus serves. By dying on the cross, Jesus pays the ransom to set others free. Jesus dies the death we deserve. And just like Barabbas, we are set free. The curtain in the temple is torn in half. Sinners have access to God through the death of Jesus. The sin barrier between God and self-serving, self-interested sinners is dealt with. On the first Good Friday, the events are bad, but the effects are wonderfully good. Jesus dies so that God's anger against sin is dealt with, and sinners can be reconciled to God by his once for all payment of the ransom price. God's servant King dies to save the people who turn to him in faith and thanks. And we see this really in how the centurion responds to the death of Jesus. The centurion was the Roman soldier in charge of the crucifixion. It's his job to make sure Jesus is dead. And Mark says this about this battle-hardened soldier. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Well, friends, that's the first Good Friday. On the surface, it's a good day for bad people. It's the evil and wicked way of this world that injustice and corruption seem to prosper. The evil and wicked Jewish and Roman rulers seem to get their self-serving, self-interested way when Jesus dies. But that's temporary. And God will one day punish all the wicked and evil and set the records right. In the meantime, when Jesus rises from the dead, we see with certainty that even now, God overrules evil to achieve his greater good. Jesus, the Son of God, did not die in vain, but gave his life as a ransom for many. And according to God's good plan and purpose, the death of Jesus now sets sinners free. So Good Friday is truly a good day for bad people like us. I'm not saying we're as bad as the Jewish rulers or Pilate or Barabbas, but not being as bad as we possibly could be doesn't mean we've been as good as we possibly could be either, does it? And it certainly doesn't mean we've only been good. We've all thought or said or done things out of self-interest. We know what it is to please people in a self-serving kind of way. We love to be served more than to serve. Just under the surface, beneath the facade of good, we know our black heart. We do live in the cult of self, and it is evil and wicked. We need to recognise that and to own it. Otherwise, we'll never recognise that we need saving. The great danger for us is we think we're good, or at least good enough. The Jewish leaders thought they were good. They were considered some of the best in terms of obedience and morality and religious service. Externally, they looked good. But internally, they pursued an innocent man to death out of self-interest. They thought they were good enough for God by what they did, and they missed Jesus. Don't let that be you, will you? Good Friday is a good day for people who recognise they're bad and turn in faith and thanks to Jesus who died to save us. So kids, that's our last star point for today. Jesus died for your bad so that you might be set free. Because Jesus died, we can be set free from the penalty of death that our sin deserves. God gives us eternal life instead. And because Jesus rose again, he sets us free from the cult of self. Now, Jesus shows us the better way of serving. As we follow Jesus, we take on his spirit so that we stop living out of selfish ambition. In humility, we learn to value others above ourselves, not looking only to our own interests, but also to the interests of others. We tend to be selfish, but I think you'll agree, selfless is way better. Friends, Good Friday is a good day for bad people, so that we might be transferred into God's kingdom and transformed to be his servants. Good Friday is a good day when we recognise Jesus as the Son of God who takes away the sin of the world. Today, you can receive forgiveness by thanking Jesus for dying in your place. Maybe even right now, you're drawn to believe and trust in Jesus and what he's done. And the next step for you might be a short course we're running called Hope Explored. We'll explain at the end of the service how you can be a part of that if you want to. And my prayer today really is that, like the centurion, you've seen again Jesus die, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. And today you're saying, surely Jesus is the Son of God. That could be you this morning for the first time or the 100th time. I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer that says, thanks, sorry, please. Let me read you the prayer so that you can see if you want to make this your own. Dear God, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die for my sins that I may be forgiven. I confess I want to live my own way, ignoring and rebelling against you. I'm sorry for living out of self-serving self-interest. Please forgive me because Jesus has paid for my sin. And please change me so that I may live more and more in service of you and others. If you want to pray that prayer with me, you can speak it out loud or just make the words yours in your head and your heart. And at the end, we can all say, amen. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die for my sins that I may be forgiven. I confess I want to live my own way, ignoring and rebelling against you. I am sorry for living out of self-serving self-interest. Please forgive me because Jesus has paid for my sin. And please change me so that I may live more and more in service of you and others. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Dave. David, it is good to be challenged, isn't it? Although it's hard, it's good to be challenged about our own self-interest, that we might run quickly to Jesus and the salvation that he offers. We're going to sing a song again, and this one has a great line that I want to just highlight for you. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. As we let these truths resonate in our hearts, let's respond by singing together. Please stand.